Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 3. I'm going to give a bit of a testimony for those that know my family and my ministry as well as you do. It's been a rather challenging 2.5 years. I didn't even think I'd be here today preaching the Word of God because I had bruised vocal cords, and I never knew if I was going to be able to preach again. Can you imagine Mike Maynard shutting up for 2 minutes? But I had to be quiet for 3 whole weeks. Can I have a gasp from the crowd, please? Yeah, I was more shocked than you people. But, you know, I so, again, was fearful that I was done preaching. I couldn't sing anymore. And that was the hardest thing for me, really, not to preach and not to sing. I sing all the time. I've got a new song in my heart, praise unto God. And I love to sing and rejoice in God's presence and rejoice concerning His goodness. But the doctor gave me the go-ahead sign here about a week ago, and man, I'm shouting. I'm more excited about preaching than I have ever been excited before. So hang on, folks. You're going to get the whole load this morning in 26, 4, 3, 2. In a real quick order of time, you're going to get the whole load here. Now, let me tell you before I have a word of prayer what's been going on. 2.5 years ago, my daughter, who already has 5 children, was going for number 6, and yeah, I know, she's a crazy woman. And she delivered Shane at 1 pound, 11 ounces. And that's a stick of butter, people. And he was just growing. He was maturing. He was in good health. And we were getting ready to take him home after about 6 months in the NICU. Then he had 2 massive heart attacks. And God took him home to glory for all eternity. That's a bit impacting to your heart. You know, it was devastating to my dear wife, who is a phenomenal Nana, and she was up with him probably more than my daughter. But, you know, God's grace was so sufficient. God's love was so obvious in abundance. And, you know, I was so proud of my daughter because she kicked into ministry mode in that whole situation like we're supposed to. And she hasn't stopped. She still goes up and, again, thanks those people in NICU and takes some pizza or takes them a dessert or takes some cookie just to, again, show them Christ, but to, again, show their appreciation of their faithfulness unto her and her family. Well, that was enough to devastate your heart and rip it out. But about 2 years ago, actually in June 2 years ago, my niece, my daughter has 3 girls, and my daughter's youngest daughter was killed by her husband. He decided if nobody's going to have her, if he can't have her, nobody's going to have her. And he took his gun out and shot her. But the thing that was really even more devastating and hurtful, the 4-year-old daughter was right there in the midst of all this activity. Now, thankfully, he's in prison for the rest of his life. But my sister has become a mom again at the age of 60 to a 10-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a 6-year-old now. And it's hard enough when you're young, but God has again just undergirded my sister. We're still devastated as a family. You know, you don't get over that stuff, but God gets you through that, through what He has available by that relationship you have in Him. Well, this summer, a year to the day of my niece being murdered, my younger brother, who's about 8 years younger than me, and I'm not 120, okay, I'm 59. My younger brother, who is a hard-working construction worker, thought he was having a heart attack, so they had him down in Muncie at Ball Memorial Hospital, and come to find out, he had a ruptured aorta, and they rushed him down to Indianapolis. And they couldn't fix it. It was like trying to fix a leaky hose, folks. It had holes from one end to the other. And he passed away. And it was devastating to my sister, to say the least, and all of us. But, you know, those times come, don't they? You know, some people have hanging over their head this kind of testimony. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Folks, do you understand persecution, hardships? That's just part of life. But the question is, what kind of testimony will you be when those things are in your normal day of activities or the, again, impacting, devastating, just extraordinary times? What kind of testimony are you, will you be, and what will you show for the glory and honor of Christ? I'm thankful, folks, like never in my life, I've seen the grace of God at work. I've been presented in abundant fashion the love of Jesus Christ. Now, I see it all the time, but in those times, it's more abundant. And again, we see the all-sufficient God at work. I want to talk a little bit about that and how you should and you really need to respond when devastation's parked on your doorstep. So let's bow our heads and hearts and let's ask God to help us this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for this opportunity. I pray, God, through your Holy Spirit's working, we'll have understanding concerning these truths. Lord, there are a lot of hurting people out there. A lot of folks who hurt so bad they've thrown in the towel and quit on you. Lord, there's too much to be done. Too many lives that need to be impacted for all eternity. God, don't let us quit. No, Lord, help us to kick into that hook to the heart and power and wherewithal of God so we can keep on keeping on, Lord, to do much for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. Lord, use me as your servant here this morning. Fill me with your power. But God, give these people ears to hear. And God, help them to respond in tender faithfulness to the preaching of God's word today. Lord, we love you. We thank you now for this time of challenge. We just praise you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, folks, we all learn by example. I think we all know that. And what an example we have of David here in Psalm 3, who is going through very difficult situations, to say the least. I mean, pressure's pounding his heart, his life, his whole presentation of what and who and what he is. But he doesn't raise a hand of bitterness to the face of God. He doesn't turn and go against what, again, God has allowed to be a part of his life. No, he responds in a faithful way. But how did David get into this mess? And he's in a mess here. The same way we get into a mess through our own fleshly, carnal choosing. But let me give you a rundown and a reminder of what's going on here. David chooses to have an immoral relationship with Bathsheba. I think you know that from 2 Samuel chapter 11. Then Nathan confronts David in chapter 12, and he says, "Evil will come to your family." Now, folks, is that an understatement or what? You know what happens, don't you? Tamar is defiled by her half-brother Amnon. Then Absalom, doing the revenge thing, he kills old Amnon, and then he flees the nation. Now Absalom, he's gone for quite a while here, and he returns after 3 years. And here's the sad thing about this particular situation. Here he's back in the kingdom, and it's 2 years before he sees dear old dad. Now, I don't know what you think as a dad, but that would absolutely devastate me. And I like to kill my kids half the time, and they're adults now, but I'd still like to kill them half the time. But you know what? If they're anywhere close to us getting together, doodle, hugging, and we're a kissy family. We don't do a lip thing, okay? I want you to know that. But we are a huggy, emotional type of family. And I couldn't stand not to be with my kids if I have opportunity. So 2 years later, they get together. Then Absalom seeks to take over the kingdom. And now David is running for his life. Does he use circumstances again to be unfaithful and go contrary? No, that's what we do. That's the excuse we pull out when we again want to go against God's will instead of faithfully serving and please him. So when pressure is on, problems are pounding his brain, persecution's piercing his heart, how does David respond? Well, I'm going to give you an outline here, enough peas on your platter to fill your morning, okay? So get ready. In verses 1 and 2, he deals with this stuff called persecution. Would you look with me at Psalm 3 and verse 1? It says, "Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God." Now, folks, what I see, knowing the life of David, this is one of those been there, done that situations. Because this guy, again, it's nothing new for his life before God and man. He has conflicts with Saul. He had run-ins with the Philistine. And he faced persecution and problems before. So it's a been there, done that thing. Secondly, we see his perspective as he faces this persecution or this situation. And it's a response of trust and dependence, folks. Look with me down at verses 3 and 4. It says, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory," and I love this phrase, "the lifter up of mine head." Have you been there and done that? You know, we sometimes go into what I call thumb-sucking mode. You could all see your thumbs to see if they're wrinkled or not. How well do we know the top of our shoes? You know, someone hurts us or someone rejects us or whatever the case, and we end up going around going, "Nobody likes me, everybody." Don't we know that too well, folks? But how does David respond in the midst of this situation? What is his perspective? Well, let me keep reading. He says in verse 4, "I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Trust and dependence, but thou, O Lord, when people are cruel, odds are against me as such, but thou, O Lord. Now look back at that list again. Protection, comfort, right understanding for right response, a shield, glory, lifter up of mine head. But I love verse 4. It says, I cried and he heard. Have you got so deep in the hole of your own reasoning, your emotional devastation, that you don't think God's listening to you? You don't think that God is looking to answer your prayer and give you his all-sufficient grace? I'm telling you, it's easy to go there, isn't it? But my God's on the clock 24/7. My God, again, loves you just as much as anybody else, and he also wants to answer your prayers and be the lifter up of your head. Again, David had established a pattern in his life as a young man to, again, look unto God and rely on his wherewithal. Do you know the situation? The lion and the bear, God delivered him. With Goliath, an NBA wannabe here. With Goliath, God delivered him in that seemingly impossible situation. Then the threatening actions of Saul, he gave the testimony of trust in the midst of the enemy. That's reflected in another psalm. I think we have time to turn there. We're close by. Would you go to, as a reminder, Psalm 54. Would you go there with me, please? Go to Psalm 54. And let me just read the first four verses here. I could read the whole thing, but for time's sake, let's just do that. Psalm 54, and look with me at verses 1 through 4. In verse 1, it says, save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers are risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set God before them. Behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. He shall reward evil unto mine enemies. He's going to take care of them, folks. He is going to again take care of the situation. Now go over to chapter 56, if you would, please. Look at Psalm 56. In Psalm 56, it says, be merciful unto me, O God. For man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. Underscore this one, folks. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Now, folks, have you figured this out yet? When you get into that kind of thinking, it only leads to one thing, that peace of God that passes all understanding, Philippians chapter 4. But how does that become a working reality in your life? Only one way, read the psalm again. When the mind and heart are in Christ Jesus. So peace in verses 5 and 6, look with me if you would please. It says, go back to Psalm 3, if you would. Go back there and let's finish out this psalm here and this message, and then we will have an invitation, so be ready for that. In Psalm 3, in verse 5, it says, I laid me down and slept. Am I the only guy who's had nights where you've stared at the ceiling all night long? You know, and everything that you really don't need to deal with, you deal with to like the time you go to bed to about 6 in the morning. Then you fall asleep for a half an hour and you got to get up and kind of be happy all day long. I've had a lot of those times, folks, when I try to bear a load that's not mine to bear. God says, cast your care upon me. But folks, we in our pride, in our self-sufficiency, and somewhat in our brain-dead mentality, folks, we again think we can handle this Christian life in and of ourselves. That we're supposed to again not bother God. No, my Bible still says, in all your ways acknowledge him and he'll give you what it takes, folks. He will never again order anything up in your life that he will not give you the wherewithal to be faithful unto him. So quit calling my God a liar. Quit trusting in your flesh and the world and trust and obey people, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So look at this. Isaiah 26, don't turn for time. Let me just read it to you. It says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. And how personal is this? Trust in the Lord forever. For in the Lord, Jehovah is everlasting strength. Now, folks, when you get that focus on Jesus and you realize you can't, but he can, you know what that brings to your life? Courage. I kind of feel like the cowardly lion on Wizard of Oz. Courage. That's what it brings, people. It will bring that wherewithal of, again, trusting, oh God, that He's the captain of your faith, that He, again, is able to carry you through. Listen to this. Courage to stand, to resist the temptation, to raise the white flag of surrender in the weakness of this old rotten flesh we're parked in. In verse 6, he says, I will not be afraid of 10,000 people which have set themselves against round about. I don't care how big the battle. I don't care how strong they may be. The battle's the Lord. He's the captain of my faith, and He has the wherewithal to carry me through. And then the last two verses deal with this aspect that we, again, bypass way too much, this stuff called prayer. It says, Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for how thou hast smitten mine enemies upon the cheekbone, that thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. That'd be kind of a neat thing to have in your brain when you go to work on Monday. You know what I'm talking about? That person at work that mocks your God and puts you down and tries to get you into trouble. Just picture them with no teeth. Okay, just kind of get that, you know, get that perspective of that neighbor that shot your dog, ran over your kid's bike. You know, he's 35 years old, piercing tattoos. He's in third grade. Do we all have neighbors like that, people? I drove around Midland yesterday. I know what I'm talking about, okay? Maybe it's all those balloon people. I don't know, but I was scared as I went through the mall. I was scared to death. But folks, why don't we cry what we should be crying? Help! Help! God, I can't! But God, you can. God, quit letting me be so foolish to get this midlife crisis man thing working. I got it. We're as bad as a punk teenager. You don't got it, you ain't got it, you'll never have it. Because apart from Jesus, you can't do nothing. But that's why you kicked out of prayer mode. That's why you're failing more than having success through the power and working of God, because you're not relying on the power and working of God. Oh, men, man up as such. And realize apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. I am not able, but Jesus, you are the source of victory. And folks, He's still looking to bring the victory even to your life. Turn real quick to Romans chapter 8. I think we have time to do this. Look at Romans chapter 8. Now, I don't care how devastated you are, how frustrated the situation may be. Every once in a while, just go park on Romans chapter 8 and rejoice in the truths of God's holy word and the promises and the wonderful truths set forth in this section of Scripture. Let's read starting in verse 35. I think you know this passage well. The one we quote all the time is, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. But keep on reading, people. Go down to verse 35. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril of sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things. Now, folks, would you underscore? Now, can I help me here? I'm not the sharpest pencil to box. I got this figured out. But I think this is pretty simple. I even understand this. It says in all things. And when God says all things, people, He means all things. Why do we act like we lose? I've read the whole book. We're the winners. You know, I understand what's going on over in Egypt. I understand who's in the White House. I understand all the situations financially. But folks, we are conquerors through Christ. Not your pulling up of the bootstrap because you're a spiritual wonderment in your own perspective. No, you're a worthless, helpless sinner apart from the intervening power and wherewithal of God. Maybe that's why your marriage is a wreck. Maybe that's why your kids don't, again, see the wherewithal through your life to be the faithful servant of God that they could be. Because you're doing something that's impossible for you to do. You're trying to be a conqueror apart from the intervening power of God. Nay, in all things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And then look at verses 38 and 39. Is this rich or what? For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities of power, nor things present, nor things to come. Now, folks, doesn't that kind of cover the whole gamut? Isn't that like all of life's presentation? Anything you have done, anything you're doing now, and anything you'll be a part of? So don't miss the depth of God's love that's available for you. Then in verse 39 it says, neither height nor depth nor any other creature shall not be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When times of persecution, problems, normal pressures of life are pounding your heart and brain, you need to again make sure you go back and review this passage of Scripture and again buy up the promises. Buy up these truths of encouragement will help you keep on keeping on and get through the mess, whether it's your mess you started, but something God's looking to clean up in your heart and life and testimony for Him. Trust Him, obey Him, and again, follow the testimony we see through David. Now, I'm not going to sing this. I have only sung a special once since I got the okay to go sing. I'm going to try to sing a couple tonight. But I just want to read the words to one of the songs. This was on loop when my daughter was going through this devastation with Shane. She told me, Dad, every time I got in the van, I turned it right to this song because it was such an encouragement, a reminder, and a blessing to me. Let me just read the verses to you. It goes like this. When your heart is so broken, your mind is consumed, why such a time should be upon your life? Jesus is faithful. He's there for you. You're not alone, for God is truly near. Now here's the chorus. How we need to be awakened in God's presence. The reality that God is truly near. Gain strength to overcome doubt's temptation. Rejoice to know that our God is truly near. Hang on for the second verse. Are you listening? It says, remember God's promises. Claim as your own. Placed firm in the hope that's in Him. God's grace is sufficient, don't miss this phrase, even for you. Grace abounds, for God is truly near. Of course, again, how we need to be awakened in God's presence. The reality that God is truly near. Gain strength to overcome doubt's temptation. Rejoice, folks. Rejoice to know that God is truly near. You say, Brother Maynard, you don't understand how devastated I am. How hurtful this situation is, just killing me. Been there, done that, folks. And you know I have. But I've also experienced something you need to buy up. That's the love, the grace, the presence of God's wherewithal. You don't have to quit. You don't have to use that as an excuse. You can stay by the stuff and be faithful till Jesus takes you home if you'll get your eyes off the circumstances, get your eyes off of other people, get your eyes off your rotten old weak flesh, and turn your eyes upon Jesus and let God do exactly what He promises He'll do no matter what's going through your life, no matter what's before you. God's grace is sufficient for you. Now, folks, the greatest demonstration of love we have of Jesus Christ, that He sent His only begotten Son to die on our behalf. Jesus came from a perfect place called heaven, took on the form of man. He was beat, mocked, scorned, nailed to the old rugged cross. He died, He was buried, He rose again the third day. And guess who He did that for? He did that for you. And if you're not saved today, you've never experienced that love of Christ through this wonderful free gift of eternal life. That's why God brought you here today. And you know, I've seen a lot of people saved in the past week or so. We had 17 kids saved at the Harvest Youth Rally I preached a week ago Saturday. You know, we had a couple folks saved down in Dowagiac, you know, a couple adults in our revival meeting last week. But isn't God looking to save souls here today? So God brought you here to hear this message, but also for you to buy up the invitation that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, Christian, I preach to you on purpose. You know, I don't get to preach this message in revival meetings, so I was so excited to be able to share this with you today. But God knows what's needed in every heart. And if you have a need that needs to be met through the promises of God's Word, I know this staff, they'll take the Bible and show you how you can fix what's broken through the power and working of God. Oh, folks, this morning, would you let God be the lifter up of your head?